Welcome to Night of the Living Dreads. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And I was really loud right there. I got a little too close to the mic. We are actually doing this podcast for the second time. I just want to let everybody know because it is, well, right now it's Monday evening, a couple days after when we normally like to have the podcast up. Usually, you know, Friday night, Saturdays. Right around the time, you know, everybody's having a good time. Sit down with good old Otis and Malice and enjoy some horror talks, some laughs and whatnot. But we ran into some technical difficulties. After recording, Malice went back to his insane asylum. I sat here in this here insane asylum. And, well, as I went to hit export, everything froze up, and normally this particular Audacity, which is what I use to record and export the MP3 and blah blah blah. Normally that program will pick it right back up and recover the file. It's happened to us before. You saw it with your own eyes, Malice, and it did not do that this time. So. We have to actually do this again, and that's all right. That's all right. At least we didn't cop out on a week, you know. We're still good. GoreHoundsOfHorror.com, GoreHounds of Horror over there on Facebook, a very entertaining page to say the least. There's been
a lot of butthurt.
There's a lot of butthurt. There's actually a medical term for this. It's called assertitis.
Assertitis?
Assertitis.
Does it come with anal seepage?
Well, if let go far too long, yes, okay. It will. I did do my research on assertitis, and according to the numbers, a lot of people have this. Nowadays, I don't know what it is. 2018, everybody's got assertitis. Everybody is butthurt over things. And
sad thing is, you know, you don't know it until they open their mouth.
You really don't. And, you know, You think you've gotten up to the line that you haven't really actually crossed the line, you know, if there is a line. I like to blur the line out a little bit. But, yeah, you know, I guess people are going to be people. But we certainly don't like that over there at Gorehounds. Because there's, you know, hey, we're people like anybody else, you know. We like to have a good time. Good time, no drama. And what reminds me, take a drama to your mama. I don't know why that came out. But, you know, when you're scrolling down your let's say, your Facebook feed or actually any Instagram or whatever hell thing that you know, you go and look at for videos or posts or tweets or whatever. If you come across one that obviously is maybe not of your thinking or you feel violated or whatever, you just don't like it. A lot of people nowadays, I'm finding, will take the extra time to stop and make their voice heard. And yes, this is the internet's problem. This is the problem with the internet. Everyone has a voice, just like me and you have a voice right now. And then that's okay. But sometimes you just have to remember, and when you take that drama to your mama, ask her to remind you what she told you when you were a kid. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Don't call somebody names just because you don't like maybe the way they look or the what they say or this or that. And now with the internet and social media, Facebook, if you don't like a post, are you really that self-righteous and self-important that you have to turn around and say, well, you're a moron. Well, you know, you're a fucktard or you're a fucking asshole for posting this and can't you just scroll past it?
Right.
Do you really need to stop? I mean,
you know, it goes along with, are the rules being broke, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, there's rules and guidelines throughout life with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, as long as it's not breaking the rules, if it offends you, let it go, man. Yeah, like, yeah.
Get over it.
You know.
What happens after that? After you're offended, what happens? Absolutely fucking nothing. Nothing happens.
It's still going to be there.
And I think people realize that nothing's going to happen by me just feeling offended. So now I have to make an attempt to make my offended feelings stand and get put on the internet forever, out in the ether, in the interwebs. Just put it out there forever. You're a fucking asshole. And then you can go back to people and say, hey, look, you see that post? Isn't that offensive? Well, yeah. We're friends, aren't we? And then you say, see what I said? I called him a fucking asshole. That's right. High five. You know, I mean, it's like, well, what for? I mean, I know that sounds stupid. It's a stupid fucking scenario I just put out there. But really, what else is there? I mean, because nothing happens other than, you know, if you do it at Gorehounds, I mean, you kind of have to have a thick skin. Understand that we're here for fun.
Right.
We want to get away from the politics. But no real gore, okay? And there are examples of categories in which you know they don't mind you posting over there. And let's be respectful. Let's be respectful to the other hounds. And those two rules have been, you know, broken quite a bit here lately. And
so, I mean, I think if the rules are broken, you know, you have to accept that, you know, what you did was wrong.
Yeah. And a lot of these people
swallow your fucking pride,
mm-hmm,
and just do what's appropriate.
Yeah.
And then let it go at that.
But it seems like here lately, Malice, and I know you've been busy, you've been down with a migraine, which
Dude,
is why it has taken so long. You've been down with a really bad migraine, the throwing up, all that. I'm glad you're feeling better, brother. But, you know, it seems like here lately, man, there's been a lot of, like, elementary school, you know, grown-up kids running around. I'm sure all over Facebook, but, you know, there's been a handful here, at Gorehounds, and, you know.
We are in a generation where kids are eating Tide Pods and snorting condoms, so.
Oh, this is very true. All right.
We got to remember, you know, that there's, you know, certain people out there walking around that
none of us will probably want to talk to.
Exactly.
Anyway, all right. Well, let's get into some horror talk now. Yes. I had to get that off my chest. yes, yours truly, Otis B. Dreads, was made a moderator over there. So I am in the inner circle of gore hounds, and I thank all of them because they're great people. If you talk to these, you know, mods and admins, you realize, well, a lot of them got sick sense of humors, just like myself, just like you. We can take a joke, you know. Certain things offend us all. Certain things will cross our personal lines. One just happened, I'm not going to get into it, but one just happened right before we started recording this podcast. So maybe that's why it's so fresh in my head. But at any rate, please don't let this little rant turned you off from going over there and visiting Gore Hounds of Horror on Facebook. They are a closed group. And three simple questions and, you know, a couple.
Some blood.
Yeah, some what?
Some blood.
Some blood. But that's for the sacrifices. Sacrificial Sunday.
I'm down.
Great bunch of people over there. Really is. All in all, you know, they got over 5,000 members over there. So you take 100 people, you're going to have a good 5 to 10 that's going to be bad apples. It's going to happen. And it happens when you get any kinds of group, especially on the internet. So at any rate, yeah, Gore Hounds of Horror over there on Facebook. Check them out. Come see us. Malice is over there. I'm over there. A lot of great people over there. And now we are only 23 days away from Halloween. Samhain.
Satan's night.
Satan's night. The devil's night. The devil's playground. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, so and I think we might have mentioned this before, but it's getting closer to Halloween. I know you're excited. I'm freaking excited. But even more excited, in 11 days, the new Halloween comes out. And we already, I think, maybe discussed the fact that you're not too hip on movie theaters. You have your reasons. You can go into it if you want. If not, doesn't matter. I'm sure I'll come up with something else to say.
Yeah, I just get anxious.
You get real anxious in places
social
like
that. Social media has ruined, you know, being social and a regular human being and going outside for me.
Isn't that odd how that does? You know, social media actually makes us more antisocial because we stare at a screen versus talking to real people, and we don't know how to talk to real people anymore face to face. We have no, you know, real social, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't have a good social interaction, maybe. We're just not good at being sociable. Well, not me. I can be sociable.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the news and, mm-hmm. you know, combined with social media and the internet.
Yeah.
We have it at our fingertips. We hear the right. instant something happens and, you know, you're people being murdered.
It invokes
know.
A lot of fear.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, you know, good Samaritans are being murdered. Helping people stranded on the highway, which what right. they think are stranded on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a car sounds broke
like
down.
A good horror flick.
Yeah, you see a car broke down. You don't want to stop.
What do you do? Yeah, you just got to fend for yourself there. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there could be kids in the car. You know.
But we're all too afraid. So it's basically a culture of fear.
Yes.
But you see what I did? Fear.
Fear.
We got fear here. yeah, it's a culture of fear, and. I think those that realize this the most are the ones that, you know, honestly are maybe more sociable or the horror fans, the ones that embrace, you know, this you know, Hollywood fear. Maybe I'm just going out on a limb there, but.
I just don't like being enclosed in buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
out in the open festivals and shit like that, I, you know, I can run, climb a tree, do something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. If you have to
in
get
a building,
away. Yeah.
You know, you're pretty much trapped until you get to a door. That
Malice, have you watched one too many horror movies?
No, I don't.
No,
think.
It's just reality, actually. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, new Halloween is coming out. I'm very excited to see. I personally will be in a movie theater somewhere watching it.
I might get intoxicated and go.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should. I think you should go with Jody and myself, and we will get hammered, and we will go watch Halloween 2018. I'm excited. I know a lot of you hounds are excited. With Halloween coming up just around the corner, just a little over 3 weeks away, but 23 days, there's a lot of haunted houses going on. Now, our last podcast, we did from an undisclosed location in a cabin in northern Ohio, up near Columbus, around the haunted Hoochie area, about 23 miles outside of haunted Hoochie, to be exact. Undisclosed. And because we did have a festival that sadly was not able to go and go on due to some pretty bad rains.
That was
and
a fucking bummer, man.
It was such a bummer. It really was. But we tried to make the best of it, and we decided, hey, you know, we had all requested these nights off, or these days off. We weren't working. Let's just try and go and enjoy the moment. So we did in an undisclosed area in a cabin in northern Ohio, up near the Columbus area, about 23 miles outside of Honohoochee. Kind of an inside joke. Listen to the last podcast number 6, and you'll understand that joke. But we decided we were going to, you know, do a little camping or whatnot. Good thing we didn't do the whole tent camping because that a very nice place that we went to, an undisclosed area named Buckeye State Lake State Park.
No, yeah, the camping, like, that would have been horrible.
Oh,
like,
man.
The ground was covered in sticks and acorns and walnuts.
Oh, dear.
I mean, like, covered completely, like you couldn't take a step without stepping on all of the above.
You'd have to rake your entire area, man, and you know, then there's your firewood.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy any. Maybe we should have went camping. But anyway, yeah, and then we decided, you know what, Honohoochee is, you know, right up the road again, about 23, you know, miles or so from, you know, 25 minutes from where we were. And it was said to be, by USA Today, voted in the top, like, 10 in the United States.
People lie.
I have to think somebody is a little more terrified of these things than I am.
Yeah.
I really have to believe that. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not shitting on Honohoochee.
No.
This is a very cool place, and we're going to throw, you know, in the description of this podcast, you'll be able to see... you'll be able to click on their link. Go check them out.
It is fun.
It is fun. It's a good time.
Comparable to the very first time I ever went. Like,
yeah, because you went, what, about 5 years ago or something?
Different. It was like eight years ago.
Oh, 8 years ago. Okay. 2010. Okay. Tell us about that experience, and then we'll get. And then I want you to get into, you know, your experience now and the difference there.
The very first time I went, you know, signed a waiver. The scenes were way more graphic than what they were this time. Mm-hmm. And they actually, you know, grabbed me and removed me from my group when I went.
Now, I mean, like, first off, if you got to sign a waiver to get into one of these places, and this is actually supposed to be said to be an extreme haunted house.
Yeah.
So you had to sign a waiver 8 years ago.
Sign a waiver, show an ID.
I mean, everything. They were being... When you sign a waiver to get in a haunted house, you know there's some shit going down. I mean, you better read over that waiver because you're signing saying that everything that happens inside there, you agree to.
I did not. Like they said, you got to sign this and
it's gonna like how read I don't this do and research.
Sign this. Or you're not allowed to go through the haunted house. And I'm like, fuck that. I drove like 2 hours to get here.
Right.
Like,
done.
But it was fun. And
it you was said a lot more graphic.
A lot more graphic. Really? Like some of the scenes, like in the very first one, was toned down to
G.
Yeah, G rated, man. I mean,
because I'd seen videos that had been done even back in like 2013 and whatnot. Of the very opening scene, they still do it now. And, you know, if you haven't gone or, you know, you may go, because I'm not sure where all of our listeners are from. Actually, when we were there, one of our fellow hounds, John Edger, I believe is his name, he was there that night. He's a fellow hound living, you know, here in this great state of Ohio.
Woo.
in an undisclosed state. The very opening scene, okay, is a guy and, you know, he's acting all crazy. He's got this little shotgun. It's the same guy.
Right. Yeah.
That's been there all these years.
Yeah.
And the video I saw showed him blow his head off, but out of the back of his head was like a blood packet that had exploded or something.
Yeah.
And from the angle where how he's sitting, which looks similar from the videos I seen from what we saw.
The exact same setup.
Yeah. The angle, it really put on a good effect.
Yeah.
In the video I saw.
Right.
And this time it sounded like a cap gun went off, like back from the early 80s, and there was no blood. So I was a little disappointed in that because I wanted to see how realistic they could make this dude look blowing his own head off. And you said it was gory then. They did the whole blood packet.
Yes,
thing.
Yes, definitely. It definitely that looked like awesome. He blew the back of his fucking skull off. Like it was awesome. I was like, this is gonna be great.
Right, and then you're taken from your group. How long into were before you were taken from your group?
Probably just like 2 minutes. Like, you know, we went in and saw that scene, got, you know, around a couple turns, pitch black, fucking strobe lights going. I'm just, all I can see is are my feet. And out of nowhere on the side of the wall, someone grabs me and pulls me in like past this curtain. And it's like that actor and another actor like trying to get my face, turning their head, trying to be spooky and ominous or whatever. And I'm just sitting there laughing.
I did that the whole time, yeah.
What's going through my mind is like how there's so many fucking people here. Like there was a lot of people there when we went.
There was, yeah.
But there were so many more people when we went, and it was later in the night. So I'm sitting here thinking like, dude, like my phone's dead. I'm not going to be able to fucking find anybody.
Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro. That's what I'd have been thinking. I would have liked. I was waiting to get pulled from my group because then what they do? They put you in another group, right?
They put you with the
group coming behind you or whatever, and so you were kind of separated from the people you went in there with,
right?
Right. Which I can understand where you know the kind of fear they're trying to get there. So all in all, that was a much better experience from what I'm taking than. You know, this pass and, you know, from at least what they put on, you know, now walk us through what happened this year and I'll chime in, you know, I will.
Yeah. So, I mean, we get there and, you know, we're just looking around, you know, checking
everything
out.
Pretty much set up the same way that it was then.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. From what I can remember.
Yeah.
You found a counterfeit $50 bill in the porta potty.
And you know what? And this is the funny thing, man. There was only like that when we got there, there were two cars in front of us. The gate wasn't even open yet. There were two cars, and one of them was an employee.
That was annoying, man. Fucking driving up the road, doing a U-turn, driving up the road, doing another U-turn.
Because they hadn't been able to pull up, and we couldn't park on the side of the road, you know. We didn't want to get a, you know, fucking ticket and shit.
Right.
So.
And this is a busy fucking road. It's like it is. Like a country, like, fucking highway.
It really is, yeah. And we finally get in there, and it's just like us. It's like me, you, Jody, and... There was like what, like a group of four in front of us.
Three.
It was three. Two dudes and a guy. You're right. And
two dudes and a guy.
No, two dudes and a chick. Well, I'm just gonna look at a guy. But anyway, there wasn't a whole lot of people there. Let's just put it that way. All right, there were more actors than patrons. So I got to piss. And ain't nobody even behind us in line. You know, we're the only six people in line.
Right.
Right. And I got to take a piss. So there's some porta potties right there. First one I walk in, I happen to look down, and there's a $50 bill. And they had all the porta potties open. The doors were all open on all of them, you know, like
right.
It's in use, you're good. And I'm like, oh, God, if this isn't a fucking setup. You know, I'm just waiting. And first thing that went through my mind, because I'm hearing the stories that you told me from like 10 years ago or 8 years ago, that, okay, maybe this is like part of the act. Like, who's got the $50 bill? Who got a 50 out of the porta potty? And then, you know, maybe they take you off and do some crazy shit or something. You know what I mean? That was mm-hmm. the first thing that popped in my head. Didn't realize it was going to be a hell of a lot more lame than that. But not shitting on them again, because it was a good time.
I thought it was
going
to be a setup for, like, they're trying to bust people using fake money.
Right.
Like, which I thought was kind of fucked up. If they were doing that, that's fucked up.
That's fucked up. And I'll never go back there again if I was to find some shit out like that. But it just seemed very blatantly obvious.
I don't think I'll ever go back there
again. Now, here's the funny part, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we find out how retarded Malice can actually be.
Yeah, oh my God.
I tell him, I was like, look, okay, you see that row of porta potties there, right? And I was like, there's, you know, the one on the right there, all the way on the end. I was like, go in that one. I was like, it's laying right on the floor. Malice is like, all right, I'm going to go check this out. I think you were a little skeptical that it could have been fake, or maybe you were hoping it was real.
Well, I what was going through my mind, all I heard was... go to the one on the end, and I'm like, all right.
Oh, so you didn't hear the right part.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't hear that. Yeah, so I said, go to the one on the end, and I walked all the way down to the opposite end.
He walked
that
to
you
the
were
left.
Talking about.
And I see him go in there, and I turned to my wife, Jody, and I said, he went to the wrong fucking porta potty. Because we have to kind of be quiet. I don't know how to take this at this point. I really don't, man. Because I did indulge in, you know, some flowers. And, you know, I didn't know how to take this right here. And Jody's like, you want me to walk down there? I was like, yeah. I think she got like just about down there. And all of a sudden, here comes Malice popping out of the
wrong fucking porta potty.
The wrong porta potty. But then you did see it.
You went in the wrong shitter.
You went in the wrong shitter. Shitter's full. Merry Christmas. Happy Halloween. Shitter's full. So you did get a look at it, though. What'd you think?
From what I saw, the little fucking writing on it.
Yeah, that's like, what I noticed.
It definitely, I don't think it was real. Just the simple fact, a coworker of mine found, ironically, a $50 bill had a bunch of Chinese writing on it, and he took
and
it to the bank.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah,
he took it to
like
the bank.
Kind
and
of Asian writing, some Chinese,
or
Japanese,
yeah,
shit.
Asian.
Or I don't know what the hell it is.
But yeah, they confirmed that it was a counterfeit. So, mm-hmm.
And this was the same thing.
Chances are.
So I picked it up when I went in because I actually had to piss, and I picked it up and looked at it, and I was like, I'll set that right back down there, and I'll finish my business. But, anyway, away from the $50 bill thing. Okay, My impressions were, you know, it's a good time. It was only $25.
Yeah.
I get that. How much was it when you went? 8 years ago.
I believe it was either 35 or 45.
And they were doing bigger shit.
It was a little bit more expensive.
I would have paid 40, 35 to 45 to see some more blood. I mean, people were coming, you know, you had these chicks, they're all like zombified, and the makeup was good. Yeah. I mean, I thought a lot of the makeup was really good, and the actors did a really good job, I thought, too. There were a few that seemed a little out of place, like it was their first day on the job, but
not the go-go dancer up in the cage.
The go-go dancer looked like she
was a professional.
Yeah, we're not going to say what. You just use your imagination. Yeah, she. There were some that would come up, and they, you know, there's zombie girls, and they come up and they're like, giving you the old crazy eye and shit, and then they want to rub your arm. I turn around, rub the girl's arm right back. I was like, I rubbed her arm back. I had a couple of them laughing at me because they scared me. And I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah, the jump scares were
good. The jump scares were abundant. And that was kind of cool, I guess.
I got hit pretty hard with a chainsaw.
I did, too. They got me right across the gut. The first ones that came out got me right across the gut. And then as we were leaving, they got me across the back of the leg, the front of the leg. I think that was about it. But it's like, you know it's fake.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, Why even jump? I just let them sit there and do it. All right, whatever. I know there's no blade on there. If there's a blade on there, you better cut all the way through, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Man. But anyway, so I'm sure a lot of the hounds are going to be going to haunted houses. And those who aren't hounds, you should be. I'm sure a lot of you are going to be going to haunted houses. So, Halloween, the movie, coming up.
Well, what's your rating for the Haunted Hoochie?
We didn't do our rating. We didn't do our grade scale here. Okay. I'm going to have, and I hate to give it this grade, but I feel like I was, by all the warnings and you know, things like that, I felt a little lied to,
right?
In a sense, I'm gonna have to give it a C. I'm gonna give it a C. It's said to be an extreme haunted house, and what I mean by somewhat lied to, that there were warnings like you could result in physical injury, which I get because there were some places in there. Jody, my wife, she broke an ankle. You know, she has a hard time sometimes walking down steep areas. She gets a little nervous, gets a little anxious. There were a few times where I thought she was going down.
Oh, dude, there was a couple places where it was slippery as fuck.
Yes. So I get the personal or the physical injury, I mean. And then underneath of that, it's an emotional injury. And I'm like, oh, I'm ready to leave this fucking place and hit a therapist for problems other than the ones I already have. And no, I mean, it was like, I came out, I was like, oh.
It's just a regular.
That was a good time. That was kind of cool. There was some, cool costumes.
I was under the assumption that we would be signing a waiver again,
Like, I was hoping. Really was. I wanted to sign a waiver. But anyway.
So, I would give it a C as well.
You give it a C as well?
Yeah, because it was uncomparable to.
Well, yeah. See, you have something to compare it to. I, on the other hand, did not. It was my first time.
So. Very first time, definitely A plus. But
wow, A plus downgraded to a C 8 years later. Malice Murphy, he's a hard.
I don't know
mofo.
If they. I don't know if they just got tired of all the backlash and all the.
What kind of more backlash could they take? I mean, because for one, they had a very political overtone. okay, which mm-hmm. some of the political points I agreed with, a lot of them I agreed with, okay, and they got into a bunch of shit over that. After putting up, things about 9/11 and whatnot. And they got into some shit with the city about that. Well, they were doing it that night. You know, so.
I don't know. Maybe if they. Because they said it's not suitable for children, but, you know, you got to throw that out there. But there was people there with
yeah.
a bunch of kids, right. you know?
13, yep. 14, and they're children, sorry. You know, you're 12, 13 years old. You're still a fucking child. You know, you haven't experienced enough. You know what I mean?
I'm sure there was some there younger than that, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe they just opened up, you know, the option of having a bigger audience. More money. Yeah,
right.
More
right.
tickets.
And then they lower the tickets and shit all over the special effects. That's crazy. I don't like that.
No.
Not at all. All right, Malice and myself, we're going to gather our thoughts here. It's time for a bathroom break. This is when most DJs put on in a God of DeVita or something. Something that lasts for like 15 minutes. Rapper's Delight. Time to go take a shit.
That or take our vitamins.
Take our vitamins.
Or smoke our vitamins.
Vitamin M. All right, hounds and other future hounds. Otis B. Dreads and Malice Murphy. We'll be right back. This is Night of the Living Dreads, brought to you by GoreHoundsOfHort.com. We'll see you on the other side.
To tell about this guy, you all know me and we scared as hell. He comes to me at night after I crawl into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day. And even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's gone when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street. I remember it right. And we had just gotten back off tour last night. So the gang and I thought that it would be groovy if we summoned up the posse and dumb rushed the movie. I got Angie, Jeff got Tina, Ready Rock got some girl I've never seen in my life. That was alright though, cause the lady was chill. Then we dipped to the theater set to ill. We saw Elm Street and man it was death. And everything seemed alright when we left. But when I got home and laid down to sleep, that began the nightmare, but on my street. It was burning in my room like an oven. My bed soaked with sweat, and man, I was bugging. I checked the clock, it had stopped at 12:30. It had melted, it was so darn hot, and I was thirsty. I went downstairs to grab some juice or a coke, flipped the TV off, and then I almost choked when I heard this awful voice coming from behind. It said, man, I ain't even wait to see who it was. Broke outside in my drawers and screamed so long, cuz got halfway up the block, I calmed down and stopped screaming. Then thought, oh, I get it, I must be dreaming. I strolled back home with a grin on my grill. I figured since this is a dream, I might as well get ill. I walked in the house, the big bad Fresh Prince, but Freddy killed all that noise real quick. He grabbed me by my neck and said,
here's what we'll do. We got a lot of work here, me and you. The souls of your friends, you and I will claim.
I said, yo, Fred, I think you got me all wrong. I ain't partners with nobody with nails that long. Look, I'll be honest, man, this team won't work. The girls won't be on you, Fred, your face is all burnt. I pat him on the shoulder, said, thanks for stopping by. Then I opened up the door and said, take care, guy. He got mad, drew back
his arm and slashed my shirt. I laughed at first and thought, hold up, that hurt. It wasn't a dream, man, this guy was for real. I said, Freddy, how's been an awful mistake here? No further words, and then I darted upstairs. Crashed through my door, then jumped on my bed. Pulled the covers up over my head. Said, oh, please do something with Fred. He jumped on my bed, but threw the covers with his claws. Tried to get me, but my alarm went off. And then silence. It was a whole new day, I thought. I wasn't scared of him anyway. Until I noticed those rips in my sheets. And that was proof that there had been a nightmare on my street. Come on, Jeff, answer! Come on, man.
Hello?
Jeff, it's Prince, man. Jeff, wake up! Jeff, wake up!
What do you want?
Jeff, wake up, man. Listen to me, Jeff.
It's 3 o'clock
Jeff,
in the morning.
Listen,
what
Jeff,
do you
would
want?
You listen to me? Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Man.
Jeff, listen to me.
So,
don't
so
go to
I
sleep, Jeff.
Tomorrow,
Jeff,
I'm
Jeff!
Going to bed.
Jeff! Jeff! Jeff!
And welcome back. Night of the Living Dreads. This is actually episode 7. Can you believe it? 7 episodes. We've been doing this for 7 weeks. Can you believe that, Malice?
No, it's kind of hard to believe.
It went by pretty quick. I mean, just 7 episodes, but it is what it is. GoreHoundsOfHorror.com. GoreHounds of Horror over there on Facebook. Come and check us out. Malice, mean, it is getting, like I said, 23 days, we have the great Halloween, which I think there should be 2 or 3 Halloweens a year, although I have 365. That's just how I live. And a lot of people watch horror movies this time of year, and, if not all the time, all year, and I know one of my wife's favorite horror villains is that of old good old Freddy Krueger.
Old Frederick.
Old Frederick. And I came across a video. It was actually posted by one of our fellow hounds over there. I know it was a female. I'm sorry, dear. I forget your name. I think it was a new member, actually. And it was a good post. It was called The Confession of Fred Krueger. And I thought this was very interesting. It's like a little mini, it's like a little short film, about 30 minutes. I believe it was made right around 2015 or so, but I could be off with my dates there. Just in the past 3-4 years, at least. And I thought it was good. This was before, as the story goes, Freddy Krueger, this man, took and would, kidnap, murder, molest, whatever, the case was. But it was children. And as the story goes, as most of us know, the story goes in the movies that he was actually let out on a technicality, and the parents all became the parents of Springwood, Ohio. I used air quotes there, if you couldn't tell by my voice. And they decided to all become vigilantes. Okay, the parents of the murdered children, missing children, and they burned him. And then he came back in the dreams of the children, So
this movie is pre-barbecue.
This is pre-burnt, Freddy.
Pre-barbecue.
Pre-barbecue. Yes. And so you're actually seeing a man who I thought did a good job.
Well, he did an excellent job.
I really thought he did a good job. So we'll start with you, Malice. What was your, you know, run us down. What was your thoughts about this and how you thought it played out, the story behind it, anything?
No, it definitely gave an insight of where he came from.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of times coincided with what we've seen in the movies.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were so many great references in this movie.
Yes. Yes.
And
by references, you mean...
Like just serial killer references.
Other horror movies.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of hidden stuff there. Yeah, it was very cool.
Oh, it was more than...
What can you remember some of the examples that we had there?
There was a red balloon which floated into the sky like an it.
Like it, right?
And
some of the serial killer, I believe there was a Jeffrey Dahmer quote in there. I think there was a Charles Manson quote in there, and it honestly has slipped my head. I can't think of the actual quotes that they used. I'd have to watch it again, and maybe we should have done that during our break, but we didn't.
No.
I went back over to Gorehounds and was checking things out with my fellow hounds, and we were just, you know, relaxing, talking about this, but never thought about talking about that.
Refreshing up on that.
Right. But yeah, I thought it was done pretty well. Go ahead.
It was funny too.
It did have some comical moments. And the guy that played, I guess, the pre-barbecued Fred Krueger, he kind of carried that little demeanor. He's no Robert Englund, don't get me wrong here. But I think if you were looking at a younger version of Fred Krueger, then this guy was a good fit.
He definitely was.
The acting wasn't really that bad, even though you could tell it was very much amateur.
Oh yeah, it was good.
It was actually kind of better than some of the big motion pictures and big movies that we've, you know, reviewed on Night of the Living Dreads here. Some of the acting was a hell of a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Which is sad. But the backstory, yeah. I mean, they went into, you know, and here's the funny thing. We had, you know, I had just here recently, you know, sit down and, you know, I would watch these confessions of serial killers. And I wanted to hear, you know, out of their, you know, mouth and whatnot. And now we have, you know, a fictional serial killer, you know, Fred Krueger isn't real. Or is he, bitch? Oh, sorry. But you know, I thought it was kind of cool to play the, you know, serial killer Fred Krueger. We all know and love him and picture him in our heads when anybody says that, as the burnt up Fred Krueger.
Right.
I hope everyone takes a moment and at some point goes to YouTube and just put in the confession of Fred Krueger. You're not going to be disappointed. I don't think so anyway. But I thought it was kind of cool that, you know, they sat him down. He's in front of, like, who is it, like the chief of police or the sergeant or something. And he's going through his story. And even, I don't want to give it away, but this short film, I mean, even in 30 minutes, it had some twist at the end.
I mean, you know something.
It was crazy.
You know something's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
And the anticipation builds up, and it's great. It really is. It flows well.
And, you know, I was just, you know, what would you give that? Let's give it a grade, Malice.
I'd give it an A.
I'm going to give it an A as well. I can't, you know, I'm not going to say A plus. Maybe if it was like an hour long or something, maybe if even with the same type acting and whatever they're doing, I think if it was just a little longer, because I felt when that 30 minutes was up, I was still wanting more.
No, definitely.
You know, so if it was a little bit longer, that would have got him an A plus. But I was reading an article. I glanced through it a little bit, you know, and I it made some pretty valid points between what's known as a horror film and a scary film. Do you know the difference? Or are they, or do you feel they're the same?
No, I feel there's a difference.
And there is. This article made a good point. And I want to say, I don't even want to throw out, you know, a wrong website. Now, I really meant to have this up, and I did not. So I'm just going off memory here. But there's some good points. And what reminded me of this was what you said about that 30-minute confession of Fred Krueger, and that it kind of drawn you along. You knew something was going to happen. And that suspense, and then boom, something happens. That is what, in this article, they described as a horror movie. A scary movie is one that has jump scares every 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a scary movie. A horror movie takes you through a story, builds up the story. You know something's coming. That's why we have these classic soundtracks. You know, Michael Myers theme. You know, the Jason thing. You know something's getting ready to happen. It's not just a bunch of jump scares. It's small parts building you up to like a crescendo of some sort of slasherness.
I think that like paranormal movies, ghost movies and shit like that, or like scary movies,
they're more scary. And yes, they do the same thing. They will kind of build you up, but the end result is, you know, normally a jump scare. You don't have in a horror, you have that build up, however long it takes. It may take 15, 20 minutes of the movie till you get to that first build up, and then next thing you know, somebody's got a hatchet in the head. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're not going, oh, that wasn't just a bump in the night. No, somebody got a fucking arrow through the eye. You know what I'm saying? That's the end of the build up. And I think it's the difference after the build up. Okay. If you just have a jump scare, that's scary. If you have someone sawing a woman hanging upside down from her, you know, nether regions all the way down to her skull with a hacksaw, that is what we would call horrific,
right?
Hence horror. And it don't have to be that graphic. It could just, again, be a hatchet to the head. That is a horrific sight for people to see. Okay. And that's what makes the horror. If the build-up just ends at a jump scare, you got a scary movie. Pretty, you know, I never really thought about it. I think I always knew it deep down inside, but I never really thought about it, you know, like this article kind of made me think about it. What's your thoughts?
I want to ask you, what would you classify, like, demonic possession movies under?
I think, again, that's scary. That was pretty easy for me. I think that would be scary. Because, yes, you can have some violent, maybe gore-type scenes, you know, after the build-up,
mm-hmm.
in a demonic, but I've seen some. Maybe, you know, that's a good question. I thought that was going to be easy. But no, now that you really got me thinking about it, you know, I guess it depends. I don't think you can really judge it by, like, a genre of scary slash horror movie.
Okay.
Like demonic possession. Yeah, I think you got to go more individual based by the movie. You can have one demonic possession movie, like, let's say, The Exorcist. The Exorcist, I feel, is a scary movie.
Right.
Okay. Now, you could have a movie with a similar scenario, okay, but have maybe... And I don't want it to come out like more gore makes it horror, but in a sense, it does.
I feel like it does.
It does. And it now that I say it, it really does. Because that's what brings the horrific feeling that you have when watching it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where you get horror again. So if you have more horror in like a demonic, in a movie like The Exorcist, that... You and then yeah, you classify it as a horror movie. If it's more horrific, The Exorcist was more scary. You see more people saying that movie scared the shit out of me. You know, now yeah, most movies that Devil's Reject didn't scare the shit out of me.
No.
I wasn't scared, Captain Spaulding was going to come kick through my door. And if he did, I'd offer him a beer and a joint. We'd sit down. We'd have a good long talk. At least I would try to. It was more horrific, the things you saw in the movie. Hence a horror movie. You know what I mean?
I think that... I do know what you mean. And I think that you have to have, a live person doing the killing, or
you think that makes it more of a horror movie or a horror film if a live person is doing it, because that does make it more horrific, brings a new level of fear. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're good. That like Dr. Satan, like he would be like a demon, right?
I don't know what the hell.
Right?
Yeah, I have him tattooed on my arm, but I have no idea what he is. He is some sort of X-Man.
Demonic creature.
Demonic, yeah. That's all I could really say, yeah.
I would say human or demonic-like creature, because I could watch a movie, just strictly about Dr. Satan, mutilating people, and that would be horrific more than scary.
Right.
I think when it comes into like something that's not real, I mean, I don't want to say that's not real,
right,
but something that's not human form or human like doing the killing, it's not horror.
Well, I also see, because you mentioned, not real or not, human. That's kind of what freaked me out about Devil's Rejects, because these characters were kind of, characters you could believe were living that way, because we have stories of Ed Gein.
Right.
We have stories of people who just, families that live this way. And, so it seems to me, I always felt that was scarier. That freaked me out more than anything. A movie that had that realism possibility in it, that realistic possibility in it, to where... these motherfuckers could be real. I mean, They're not supernatural. They're not creatures. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These are real people. And that's really what drawn me to Devil's Rejects. And I don't know. I mean, maybe in the same breath, even though we're not talking about things that look like really like humans, but Hills Have Eyes. You know, it was from some, you know, nuclear mutations and things like that. And now you got these cannibals living up in that. Who knows? That's getting a little more far-fetched, but still not out of the realm of possibility. What do you think about that? I know you've seen that.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
And along with, like, Wrong Turn, you know, some
backwoods,
inbred, cannibalistic.
Which is basically almost like The Hills Have Eyes, but they just live in the woods.
Right.
But still, I love all of them. I have and they're inbred. Three of them out there. And I love all three. I mean, they're all good movies. But, so you have, you know, I mean, I don't know. What do you do, Malice? What do we do?
Just, I don't know.
I set him up, folks. I cut it off. But no, I didn't actually cut it off. I actually forgot what the hell I was going to say. Oh, I remember. It's because, you know, it's why I brought up, you know, Hills Have Eyes. You know, that it seems, and I agree with you, there, you know, when you have that human element to a scary movie, it all of a sudden becomes a horror movie because it becomes more horrific to think that your fellow man could be a mutant, you know, or you could be broke down in the desert or just in a strange place and run across Otis and baby, pick baby up as a hitchhiker, you know. That human element, it really brings about that horrific fear that I think all of us, those listening, us, you know, that's why we watch horror movies. Because maybe it brings an adrenaline rush, but I think that the human element absolutely does bring about more of a horrific feeling.
I can be scared without being horrified.
That's such a great point. And I think maybe it's not just the individual movie, maybe it's the individual watching the movie, you know, because I don't scare easy. I, you know, don't really get all that horrified very easily, you know, but I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, it's maybe some of the hounds can, you know, help us out. And if you're listening, drop us a, you know, a comment there at nightoftheLivingDreads.com. Right on the page where you may be listening to this particular podcast. So, you know, we talked about a lot of cool stuff tonight, Malice.
Yeah.
I thought so. You have anything you want to add to this here?
Yeah, actually.
Rambling, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the spirit, you know, of October,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a big horror fan.
Yes.
And
Are you really? You like horror movies?
Nah, I'm a liar. Sorry. I'm just trying to be cool. I am obsessed with paranormal. Like,
okay.
I am very intrigued and obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually went on,
at our undisclosed location up there at a cabin in Northern Ohio.
I was going to talk about the abandoned house.
Oh yeah, yes.
This was on the Lime Ball Road because that was
a while ago.
That was raw. That was not. There was no technology.
Mm-mm.
This was pure feeling, and what we saw with our own eyes.
Yeah, and I mean there were cell phones, obviously, but not like we have them now. There were no touch screens
Nokias
at this
point. Nokias and flip phones.
Exactly. And no, I'll let you tell this story because you have a much more vivid memory of this, I have certain things that really stand out, and the part that stands out the most to me is at the end of the night and the next day, and your cousin took and he was witness to this, and I had pictures of it, but they were not on a digital phone. They were actual pictures. I don't know if you know some of our listeners how young they are, but they may not know what those are.
Disposable cameras.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. That's very true. But I know I'll let you tell the story, and this is great. I'm glad you're bringing this up. This is cool. I thought you were going to talk about our undisclosed location in a cabin in northern Ohio, just a little bit outside of Columbus.
Another show. All right. Or maybe next. So this is a house I used to party at with friends during high school, and it was an old abandoned farmhouse, and it was, you know, kind of in a rural area. I mean, it's right outside of
Fairborn. There were houses around, but it sat back. You could tell it was a farmhouse.
Oh,
pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
The walk back there was
yeah.
a pretty ominous walk. Yeah. The way the trees hung over the path was almost walking through a cave. And the house just, I mean, some houses just have a spooky look, you know, spooky vibe. Nothing really jumped out at first when we first got there. We were just walking around. It wasn't until we went in. And the house, I mean, at this point, it was almost, no, that was the time after that where it was falling apart completely.
Yeah, because we went to it a couple of times. We went to it, I think, twice.
Right.
And the second time, yeah, it was kind of dilapidated, and it was, you know, falling down nowhere near in the condition it was when we first went out there.
Because we actually were able to go inside.
Funny part of this story, though, we had a guy, we called him Blind Mike. And this is a guy who was a friend of ours, and he's a fellow cannabis user. He had a tumor as a child, and during the surgery caused his vision in both of his eyes to be like looking through a straw. So he had severe tunnel vision. So we're leading this blind guy into a haunted house.
Oh, man, that was very comical.
Down that trail, I do have to cut in. And then I swear I'll let you, you know, tell this story because you tell it with more detail than I could. We're walking down. This is one of the things that stick out to me. But we're walking down this trail. And as you said, you know, it was maybe kind of fall. I think it was getting kind of chilly. There was no leaves on the tree.
Right.
And there was all of these trees that kind of hung over this trail. And it was very, very spooky. And as we're walking.
Oh, God. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Blind Mike, God bless him. He's walking along in one of these branches, hits his jacket, gets a hold of his collar, and he starts screaming, "Some grab me! Some grab me!
Some grabbing me!"
And we're like, no, Mike, no, it's just the branches, bro. It's all right. He's like, oh. Yeah, it was comical. Yeah, it's one of those things that you had to be there. But anyway, continue. So we walked around the house. There was like a little barn of some sort, like maybe where they stacked hay or something.
It was an open barn.
Yeah.
And then also they had an enclosed barn.
Right.
So
it was
like
remember
a half
that.
A barn.
Yep. Yep. And we tried going in the back door, was it? Or was it a side door?
We entered and exited the house a few times.
Right.
You know, just walking around, making sure no one was coming, making sure because we were trespassing. So.
And it was super creepy.
But once we finally went in and decided to try to investigate the house, we decided to go upstairs first. And I was leading the way with my cousin directly behind me. And as you walk up these stairs that's attached to the living room, it's like an open staircase. I mean, you have the wall leading up the stairs, but the other side's completely exposed, no rail, no nothing.
Because wasn't it like when, as soon as you walk in, there was the stairs right there, kind of to the right, offset a little
through
bit.
Like a side door, yes. If you were coming up the path, it would have been, you would have, coming up to
door.
The house,
yeah.
It would have been the side door, and just right around the corner, if you would continued walking, is
right.
The front door where the canopy
right.
and everything was,
yep.
that was collapsed the second time we had went out there.
Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
As soon as you walk up these stairs, directly up the stairs, you come to the hallway and a wall, and off to the left, there's two rooms adjacent from each other. And then to the right is a hallway leading to two more rooms and a little bit extended of a hallway to a window. And the rooms are kind of offset across from each other. And I look back at my cousin and we're both standing up on top of the stairs. We look into the left of the staircase into both of those rooms, don't see nothing. And I said to my cousin, you know, it'd be crazy if there's a homeless person in here and tries to kill us. And
you're quite the funny guy. There's always one in every crowd, folks.
I love scaring people,
right?
Especially in intense situations.
Yes.
It's I get great humor out of it. But this black shadow on the right side of the hallway from that room darts across the hallway into the offset room, like instantly. I mean, it was so fast. If we would
like
blinked,
instantly after you said that, because mind you, folks, I'm at
not
the,
instantly.
No,
because
I'm
said
at the bottom
just,
of the stairs.
I mean, I would
at this point
a good maybe 10 or 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just standing there. It was quiet
because I didn't hear none of this.
Kind of quiet.
Or,
the house was creaking.
Maybe you don't remember,
but when it happened, I turned to Ricky or my cousin and.
Ricky.
Was Ricky, and was going to ask him if he saw that, and he had jumped down the. I didn't even get to ask him.
I remember that
he had jumped. It was not from the very top to the bottom, but he was jumping down several stairs at a time.
Three stairs at a time. He, you know, probably hits five stairs because
yeah.
it was about a 12 to 15 staircase.
Right.
Yeah, about your average staircase, about 12 stairs or so. And he probably hit 3, maybe 4 stairs on the way down because I was at the bottom of the steps. And all I remember is, and here's my version of it, all I remember is you two walking up there. And I do remember you guys, you know, you kind of disappeared out of my sight for a minute. Or maybe I just looked away. I don't know. But all I remember is hearing maybe an oh shit and a bunch of footsteps, and then here comes Ricky right down the steps. And I think I my foot, was it my leg that went through the damn step? Somebody's leg went through a step.
I think that might have been out back when we were walking around the house going through one of the other doors.
I feel like I have a scar from that night.
I do have a mental scar.
Yeah, but the leaving that house when that happened, Ricky was out the door first. I think I'm not sure. I know when everybody was running, I was running with the camera facing behind me, snapping pictures.
Yeah, I was
hoping to catch something. I was at the back of the crowd thinking maybe I'm going to catch something chasing us.
Yeah, Ricky was in front. You was behind Ricky. I was the last one out of the house. Ricky's friend, BB, was there. And Blind Mike, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And BB screaming, Ricky,
I don't
even
leave. Think they went in. I don't.
No, they didn't.
No.
I think
you, and Ricky were the only ones that actually went in at that moment when you guys seen the shadow.
We're the only ones that went in at all. Like, They didn't go in the house at all.
Yeah.
But I remember zooming past them, both BB and Blind Mike are screaming, "Don't leave me!"
Yes, I do remember that.
Blind Mike screaming for Otis, and
I'm back there snapping pictures over my head, hauling ass, hoping I get something.
And BB screaming for Ricky, and not one of us giving a shit. Like,
no, we're just gone,
getting the hell out of Dodge, man. Like,
leaving, because what we had to do at that time, I had a white Cavalier.
White Lightning,
yes, and I name my cars, and I'm that guy, and hey, I had a black Pontiac Sunfire named Black Sunshine after Rob Zombie's song. So, but anyway, we had to park because they had a gate that was padlocked and everything, so you had to hop over the gate. This was real fun for a guy with tunnel vision, and. So I had to park there, and then we hopped the gate and walked that trail where the trees were molesting our blind friend. And so we get in the car. We're all hauling ass getting in the car, and we go back to my sister-in-law's house, which was where I was staying at the time. And the next morning, I wake up, and there is, I swear on everything I love, there was a perfect handprint, but the fingers on this damn hand were probably, take their hand, hold it up, and then extend every damn finger and thumb twice its size, twice its length, I mean. So take that finger and put it on top of the other. That's what was on the back driver's side passenger window. I took a picture of this. I couldn't believe it. Nobody had, it looked like, I don't know, mud or something, but nobody was in mud.
Right, yeah, I remember it being a muddy handprint.
Yes. It looked like mud on there, and it didn't look smeared. That's the thing, like the fingers weren't long because it was smeared. It was like, bam, a hand on the window. And that, my friends, is what stands out to me the most about that. Because who knows what you saw, okay, you and Ricky.
Right.
Who knows what that was? Was that a shadow man? Was that someone who lived in this house? Was, you know, we don't know, evil or not, you know. I felt
a very uneasy feeling at that moment.
And that, and you know, a lot of that too can be from the unknown. You don't know what you just saw, therefore you're uneasy. Or is it uneasy because, oh, this is a very malicious, you know, spirit, apparition, shadow man, whatever label you want to put on it, whatever title you want to put on it, you know. But nonetheless, I know what I saw on the side of my car, and you saw it, and it didn't come from any of us. That I do know.
I've had suspicious things happen, you know, in places that I've lived and been creeped out. But that, I was scared. Like, I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there anymore.
Really?
Like, I had that, you know, that, just that feeling of run, go, now, and that in my mind, like, that gut feeling.
No, that's when you know it's time to haul ass. Haul ass. Well, Malice taking us back some years. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, and again, we would love to hear some of your paranormal stories. You know, there's going to be shows where, you know, I would personally like to talk about things like sleep paralysis and shadow men and different, you know, experiences. Maybe some of our listeners, hounds, soon to be hounds, we hope. You know, some of them, you know, let's hear some of your stories. I can't wait to be able to take calls. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, definitely.
That would be so awesome. Take a call right now talking about paranormal. Yeah, that would be good.
Talking about anything.
Talk about anything, yeah, right.
Horror.
Until that time comes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to say goodnight once again. This has been kind of a little bit of an extended, but we didn't do a full episode when we were in that undisclosed location in a cabin in northern Ohio near Columbus. Again, a running joke. Listen to episode 6, the Haunahoochee episode. You understand that. Although I've said it so many times, everybody's like, I'm done with it already. I'm so fucking done. But anyway, this is nightofthelivingdreads.com. Core Hounds of Horror. I had a brain fart. Corehoundsofhorror.com. Core Hounds of Horror on Facebook. Find Malice and myself over there at Night of the Living Dreads on Facebook. And for Night of the Living Dreads, I am Otis P. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
And we're going to bid you all a very, very horrific evening. Have a good night, folks.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.